Thank you, Brother Joe. It's good to be here this morning. We greet each one in the precious name of Jesus, the one that made it possible that we can get together and worship a risen Lord, someone that is alive and that we can be a part of. Greetings from the Santa Fe Mennonite congregation in Lake Butler, Florida. A lot of you have been there to visit us, and we invite the rest of you to come when you can. And I want to thank you as a church publicly for all that you have done for us in sharing my very good friends and your leaders with our church. We thank you for that. As we think about 2020 and as we think about life as we know it now, I don't know what your mind or how you think about the rest of this year and the beginning of next year. But I was talking with my salesman, and I was giving him my dilemma of needing a little bit more equipment. And he said, wait. And we already heard about waiting this morning. He said, wait till after the election. He said, that's my advice. You know, how wrapped up do we get in this? How worried do we get about the future and where we're at as a country? Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 9. As we put together life as we know it today, and as we put together tomorrow and the future, and as we think about just all the turmoil, the sadness, the pain, what do you and I, as born-again Christians, have to do today? What an opportunity that we have to trust in a sovereign God. What an opportunity we have to be a people full of life and joy in the times that we live in. And we're not going to start out necessarily on that note. We want to read 1 Chronicles 4, verse 9. It says this, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." And if you was to look at the context of this verse and of this name, in Hebrew, the name Jabez means pain. A literal meaning would be that he will cause pain, or he causes pain. You know, in the Bible times, when you were given a name, it often defined your future. It was almost like a prophecy of your future. And you know, pain is a big thing in our world today. So just a little background here. The first 9 chapters of this book are pretty much all just genealogies. You know, we're from Adam. We go to Israel's return from captivity. Chapter 10 is the overthrow and death of Saul. Then the reign of David starts in chapter 11 and goes on through the end of 1 Chronicles. So why, after 44 names in chapter 4, does this writer stop and pick out this one man, Jabez? As far as I know, this was the only time he's ever been mentioned in the Bible. As far as I know. So our text verse this morning is going to be verse 10. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." What a verse to breathe life into a situation. What a verse to allow the name that you was given, or the time that we're given to live in. What a verse, what a prayer. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." So the title this morning is The Prayer of Jabez. "That thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." Bruce Wilkinson writes a book on the prayer of Jabez. Anybody ever read that book? In that book, he says this, that in the Hebrew, When you put indeed behind a prayer, it's like adding 5 exclamation points or writing it in capital letters and underlining it. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Sometime back, in an article for Mountain View Nursing Home, the administrator wrote about a trip that they had took to Paraguay and Brazil with some volunteers. And they went to the Iguacu Falls, and he says they stood there and watched 400,000 gallons of water per second go over that falls, and the roar and the mist that rose up because of it. And he writes this, he said, I saw God's goodness, abundant and constant, even if I may not appreciate it, even if I question it, it still flows, splashing against the rocks of this world, sending up a mist all around. His goodness flowed before I took my first breath and will continue after I take my last. You know, I had to think about 400,000 gallons per second as a good way to describe the goodness of God. Immeasurable. Yet you and I, sitting here this morning, are recipients of it in our daily lives. You know, if you could stop for just a minute and just pull out a few blessings in your life this morning, I'm sure you could come up with a list pretty quick. This writer goes on to say this, when we seek God's blessing as the ultimate value in life, we are throwing ourselves entirely into the river of His will and power and purpose for us. All our other needs become secondary to what we really want, which is to become wholly immersed in what God is trying to do in us, through us, and around us for His glory. You know, these are not my words this morning. This was this writer of this article. But what a testimony. You know, is that a key for life as we live in this time? To throw ourselves entirely into the rivers of God's will and power and purpose for my life. And I believe if we can do that this morning, we can find blessings indeed. We can find blessings with many exclamation points behind it. We're going to look at quite a few different scriptures this morning as we go through this. If you will, turn back to Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar words here. As we think about asking God to bless us, indeed. Got the words of Jesus here. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, or indeed, shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things to them that ask him? You know, God's bounty is limited by us. Not by His resources, not by His power, not by His willingness, but by us. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Think about that as you think about this time that we live in. Think about asking God to bless you indeed. The second one we see here is that Jabez prayed was that God would enlarge his coast. So as we think about this word enlarge, 2 Samuel 22, gives us a little help in defining this. 2 Samuel 22, verse 37. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. 1 Kings 4:29, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that are as on the seashore, defining enlarged. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men. So in this prayer, what was Jabez saying? What was he asking for when he asked God to enlarge his coast? Enlarge simply means to get bigger, to give me more room, or a bigger space, or to give me more to do. You know, very seldom do we pray that God would give us more to do. As we think about the work that we have, as we think about the life that we know it, we've already heard about being busy. Are we praying that God would give us more to do, that would enlarge our coast, or enlarge our borders, enlarge the boundaries of where we reach out to? You know, what is the coast of your life? What is the coast or boundary of my life this morning? A number of months ago, a friend of mine in the community there where we live took his own life, a man that I knew well. Why? He knew me well enough to write me an email when he served a tour in Iraq. He knew I prayed for him, for his safety. He had called me prior to this and told me about another friend that we both had that had died. When he hung up the phone, he was crying. You know, why didn't he think about our relationship as the devil messed with his mind and sent him down the road to hell? Was it because my coast was not enlarged in my life? Was I not reaching around? Was I not available? And I know that people make decisions. And I know that people make choices that we can't control. But am I praying and am I willing to be given more to do, to enlarge the coast in my life? Enlarging our coast means to live a life of influence. It means to live a life of godly influence. How we live and what we say affect those around us more than we'll ever know. What impact have I had on those around me in my boundary or in my coast? Can I honestly pray to God every day that He would give me more opportunities, more boundaries, more to do? How much territory am I covering this morning? How much territory are you covering? Are we willing to do more? The third thing that Jabez asked God for was that thy hand might be with me. Psalm 37. Psalm 23 and 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I'm sorry, I missed verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. In John 10, as we think about God's hand being with us, John 10, starting in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In the Great Commission, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Notice verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So Jabez, as he's here in this prayer, he's asking God for his hand to be with him. And you know, as we live in our situation today, maybe you don't have this problem, but how often do we simply not reach out for the hand of God? Ask him for his hand. You know, a little child finds his hand in his mom or his dad's hand when the path gets dark or fearful. What about the children of our Heavenly Father, you and I this morning? Do we find our hand in God's hand through the path of life that we are on? Do we find ourselves in the presence of God in whatever we do? Never go where God doesn't lead. Never come out from under the hand of an all-knowing and an all-seeing God. You know, sometimes we think we know how things should be. We think we know the answer to a problem or a need. But always remember to simply pray that God's hand would be with you, as Jabez did. Allow him to lead you through come what may. Jabez prayed that thou wouldest keep me from evil. Psalm 34. I don't know what Jabez faced in this time, in this era of history. I don't know if the things that he faced were worse than what you and I face today or not. But do we pray sincerely and often that God would keep us from evil? Psalm 34, verse 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What is man? What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. In Romans 12, verse 9, it says, let love be without dissimulation. And it says to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And as I thought about this prayer and this simple request that God would keep him from evil, as we think about abhorring evil today, abhor means to utterly detest that which is evil. It means to hate the sin as you would hate the hell that it will lead to. How bad do you and I abhor evil this morning in our lives? How bad do we utterly detest it? And are we mindful daily of the evil that is around us? And are we doing everything in our power with God's help to live above evil? The psalmist says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You know, I don't know what Jabez felt and I don't know what he went through in that day. But we can't go out these church doors and go very far without seeing something evil in this world that we live in. Are we serious about guarding and abhorring the evil of today? Keep or guard thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. It says the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. He will destroy or cut off the remembrance of them. You know, we must abhor evil, just as Jabez needed to in his day. Flip back a few psalms to Psalm 23. As we think about God helping us in this battle of evil, As Jabez prayed that God would keep him from evil, and as you and I pray that God would keep us from evil, let's find ourselves in this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Find ourselves being led through green pastures and beside still waters. In the book, The Prayer of Jabez, the author says this. He says, stay out of the arena of temptation as much as possible. And as we think about the arena of temptation, let's find ourselves in Psalm 23. Following, being led, being guided by our shepherd. I think the most beautiful part of this prayer is the last point. And it says, and God granted him that which he requested. If I was to ask for a raise of hand this morning of who has had prayer answered in their life, there's not a doubt in my mind that even the little children would raise their hands. The blessing of answered prayer. Faith in an all-knowing and an all-seeing God. Matthew 21, 22. Matthew 21, 22. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. You know, we have prayed many, many prayers. And we have watched our loved ones get sick and get healed, get sick and die. But you know, God has still answered our prayer. May not have been what we wanted, may not have been what we thought was best. You know, our faith has been strengthened time and time again through prayer. We believe in prayer. We practice prayer. We've prayed multiple times today, and we will continue as we go through the day. And I don't know about you, but you can come to a prayer meeting and always, without fail, leave feeling better. And God granted him that which he requested. So this morning, what would happen if we'd start on the front bench here and go all the way back, and each one of you would pray this prayer today and tomorrow and the next tomorrow through the end of this year and on, if you would pray this prayer of Jabez, what would happen in your life? Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Think about what could happen if the world was lit on fire by this prayer this morning. And if the churches across the globe would unite in prayer. That God would bless them. That God would enlarge their coast. Think of all the churches. Think of the countries reach. People would be saved. I made a commitment to pray this prayer every day, and guess what? It don't get done all the time. Why is that? We believe it. We know if we practice it, it's real. But I want to commit again to pray that God would enlarge my coast. And maybe more importantly, that his hand would be with me and that he would keep me from evil. You know, we live in some tough times. But God will grant us that which we request. So I challenge you. Pray the prayer of Jabez. Live the prayer of Jabez. Be ready and willing to serve. Shall we stand for prayer? Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this privilege and opportunity of worship. We thank you, Lord, for your holy Bible that you have given us, that we can hold in our hands and we can read, knowing that it is your inspired word, that it is truth. We thank you, Lord, for this individual that we studied this morning. Lord, you know our lives. You know the conditions of the world. You know the times that we live in. Help us, Lord, to look to you. Help us, Lord, to realize your way is best. You're sovereign. Lord, I just pray that the joy of the Lord would radiate from our lives as we rest and throw ourselves and immerse ourselves into your will for our lives. Lord, forgive us where we have failed thee in any way. And Lord, as we struggle to fight battles and we struggle to overcome, walk with us. Help us to hate evil and love the truth. Help us to pull together as churches and as fellow Christians for a common cause, that lives would be saved. Help us to be faithful where you've called us. I pray that you'd bless this church in a special way. Pray, Lord, that you'd bless each person that is here this morning. Lord, you know the condition and the desires and the motives of our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us with a vision for your work and for your kingdom. And Lord, as they live in this town and this community, and as they work the various, Lord, that you would bless them with your presence. Walk with them. Be there for them. Help them to find their hand in yours. And thank you for the opportunity and the privilege of being here together with these people today. Just bless us according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.